Hello, beautiful women, and welcome to the Claimed Podcast. I'm Anna Rova, your host, and let me tell you a little bit about myself if you're new to the podcast. I'm a femininity and feminine embodiment coach, and I run a very powerful program for single successful women who want to attract and keep committed masculine men, or women who are already in relationships but want to change that feminine masculine polarity in their relationship. Welcome, Claimed listeners. Today with me, I have a very special guest. He's a man and a great man at that. I've interviewed him 2 years ago. And Chris, you've been my first Chris on this podcast in the series of men. So for everybody listening, I'd really, really recommend that you listen to that first episode we did with Chris, which is episode 129, where Chris, with you, I started this whole segment of interviewing men about masculinity, manhood, what it means to be a man today. And I believe the title of your episode was something like, being the protector and the provider is my mission or is my personal constitution or something like that. And I love that episode. We've been since then, 2 years, we've been referring that episode many, many times to, you know, my clients and all the women who are following my work. And it was really interesting because I think you are one of the men, one of the few men that actually is not in this line of work doing men's work, but you're in the line of, you know, you have your own business, you're teaching entrepreneurs business skills, and you're doing now mastermind events and things like that. And you told me that, you know, if you wouldn't be doing that, then you would be definitely doing working in the field, I guess, with men and all of that. So, yeah, I really appreciate that and you coming back. So today, well, Chris, let us hear from you, because I was like, where's your bio, Chris? What do I read? And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let you introduce yourself, because I think you're going to do such a better job than me. So welcome, Chris Reynolds.
Thank you.
You're now in Texas, Austin, calling in all the way from there. Tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are and what you do.
So as Anna said, my name is Chris Reynolds. I have been a location independent entrepreneur for 10 years, living all over the world. I run a podcast called the Business Method Podcast, where we interview higher level entrepreneurs and high performers. And we run private masterminds for 7- and 8-figure entrepreneurs, where we do fun adventures, but also have a business aspect to it, where we help entrepreneurs grow their businesses. That is the main gist of what I like to do. I'm really big into neuroscience and brain scanning. I have a brain scanner here at my house in Austin, and I've been around to travel for a bit and like to scan my friends' brains, other entrepreneurs and other people, and see inside their world what's going on with their brains. So that's another little hobby of mine. I guess you could say I really always enjoyed men and growing up, because I grew up in Missouri and I grew up around a blue collar and farming family. And so we got to do a lot of those masculine jobs growing up. I hunted, I fished, I drove tractors. You know, I did those things, went camping, learned how to survive in the wild sort of thing. So that was a great childhood for me. And then in 2008, I took a men's leadership seminar in Northern California, and it really took my understanding of men and masculinity and really love for all of this and the differences between men and women kind of to the next level. And it's always been a passion of mine since then, really, to kind of study it on the side of all the fun projects I'm working on in my regular life.
We talk about all of that, like your journey towards discovering who you are as a man, being the protector and the provider, developing your personal constitution. You know, you talk about that leadership seminar. You also talk about Alison Armstrong in that interview. So for everybody, I encourage you to pause this and actually go and listen to that interview, because I absolutely loved it. It was one of my favorites, and I learned so much from you, Chris, and it was just very, very insightful.
Can I tell you something real quick? I've been dating this woman, and she randomly was on the computer, I guess searching my name or searching something, and your episode came up. Oh! She's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to listen to this one. And she told me afterwards how much she really enjoyed it. So you're helping my dating life with this.
Yeah, Chris. So basically, every time you go on a date with a woman, you're like, all right, well, this was great. Or before even, you know, this could be your kind of personal, well, not business card, but, or you put it in your dating profile. Dating Imagine card. That. Yeah. Girlskill.com/129. Listen to that to know what I'm all about.
Yes.
Oh, yes, my God. Perfect. I love it. Yeah, beautiful. So for everybody, 129, if you go to girlskill.com/129, that's Chris's interview. So, okay, before we move on and we tell the listeners why you're here, because there's actually a really interesting story why you're here again on the podcast. But I want to know more about the scanning brains and stuff. Like, what do you mean by that? Like, do you actually have like a brain scanning machine at your house? And you're like...
I have a brain scanning machine that costs about the price of a very nice car. Not a very nice car, excuse me, but a decent car, very decent car. As an entrepreneur, you know, we work really hard and we spend a lot of time in front of the computer. I burnt myself out of a couple businesses. And when I did that, I had my brain scanned kind of towards the end of one of those burnout periods, or kind of on the cusp of a burnout period. And my brain was literally like lacking microvolts. It was, you do a brain scan and it looked like a blue ocean. And normally when you do a brain scan, a healthy brain needs to be lit up with like orange and greens and turquoise and reds. The doc that I was working with was like, you're burnt out. So we need to start getting you on different supplements, a different routine, so you don't continue down this path. And like many men, like many entrepreneurs, my mode is go, 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 like work, 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 you know, work harder, especially being in a place, you're from a blue collared and farming family, farmers get up at sunrise and they work all day until sunset, you know, so it's just kind of in my culture. And so I was like, okay, well, if this is helping me that much recognize burnout before it actually happens, I want to buy this thing and help other people as well. Because I don't know if you've been on the brink of burnout before, Anna. It's not a fun place to be. And it's literally lack of brain electricity, lacking of brain voltage because of the activities that we're doing. So that's why I bought it. And now we use it. People that come in our mastermind, we scan their brains and we help them optimize their brain performance so they can build even more successful businesses and help the world and be better humans.
Wow. I bet this is one of your unique selling points into your mastermind. We have a brain scanning machine, my friends.
We do.
So. Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. Awesome. All right. So, Chris, let's get into it. So to give a big bit of background, why you're here is you, I tell the original story of how we met and how we know each other on that first amazing interview that we did together. And what I've done is in that location-dependent entrepreneur community that we're both part of still, I did a post about Claimed and how we grew, how we basically 10x our business and our company in the last year. And I just shared, you know, some of the biggest lessons and all of that with the community. And then I got and obviously I announced, you know, I'm pregnant again with the second baby. And I did that more geared towards women because I shared my journey of, and, you know, you talk about burnout, but then my whole thing and my journey with the business and everything, especially being a woman and a mother, I'm not saying it's different, like it's harder, but there's so many nuances that go into that that men necessarily don't have to deal with. Obviously, like pregnancy, you know, I just shared with you my first trimester, you know, the our income goals and the revenue and the cash or whatever just plummeted because I was throwing up in the toilet, you know. So anyways, after that, you reached out to me and kind of, you know, congratulated with the baby. And then I think just said, I've written something about women. After I think you said something about the meditation, you were meditating and then you had these powerful realizations about women and you know, I think you asked if I want to read it or something. And so I read it and I was like, you know, when I was reading it, I had goosebumps around and I was like, oh, Chris, what are you going to do with it? You know? Uh-huh. And I know you sent it to a few women that obviously.
Just one others.
Okay. Well, yeah. But then I saw some photos and stuff and I was like, what are you going to do with it? Like my immediate thought actually, when I read it, I'm like, My clients need to read it. The women that I work with need constant and consistent evidence that men like you, men who are standing strong in their masculinity, who really portray, you know, healthy masculine values, who admire women and respect them, but also stand in that strong masculine protector and provider. I'm like, I need to give this to my clients. And so we kind of started talking and you said, well, I don't know what to do with it. I just wrote it. And I said, well, I mean, there's lots of things we can do with it. First up, let's talk about it on my podcast because I do have a platform for this. And I love when, you know, it's one thing when I talk about this as a woman, but it's a completely different thing when men actually talk about this and talk about women in their lives and everything. So it was a really touching letter that I read and I asked you to record this. And so what we're going to do, we're going to pause here and we're going to let listeners actually listen to that letter. And then we're going to come back and we're going to discuss. Sounds good?
Sounds great.
All right, let's do it. So ladies, enjoy.
These are some of the most impressive women on the planet. They are my friends and I love them. These are women that have taken on the world and have mastered it in some way, and will continue to take on the world until they know it is their time to stop. They are women that run their own businesses, women that have traveled the world. Most of them have lived in multiple countries. Most of them speak multiple languages. They are women that aren't afraid to travel alone, women that have dreams and they pursue those dreams like a female wolf would pursue its prey to feed its young. They are the women that have built tribes, they nurture their tribes and empower their tribes. They are women that belong to tribes and love the members of their tribes with open hearts. They give love in an incredibly powerful way, a way that confuses many weak men. They sometimes find it hard to find men that can keep up with them because of the way they move through the world. I look at pictures of these women and I think they are magnificent, radiant, stunning, and none of that comes from sexual desire, just gratitude. These women breathe freshness into our lives. They are transformative. Their power lies in the fact that they are women that have mastered the world and will continue to master the world. They are unique. They are powerful. They are beautiful. And I cherish them. I cherish them so much that it has threatened women that I have dated. The woman that I choose to marry won't be threatened by these women. She would be enlivened by the fact that she has found a man that has such powerful women in his life. I see these women as sisters the same way I see the women in my family, and that I would gladly risk life or limb to protect them. Why would I do that? Because they are part of my circle of friends, and when one enters my circle of friends, they become family. I believe that it is a man's duty to protect his family the best way one knows how. I have seen it many times. When I turn on protector mode, women relax. They let their fears subside and set into their feminine essence. It is a beautiful thing to observe. Some men protect with money. Some men protect with physical presence. Some men protect through other means. Even though these women love to feel protected, they don't need protection. Just as a complete man loves the attention of a woman, he doesn't need it. Just as a full man loves pussy, he doesn't need it. These women laugh at toxic masculinity and see straight through it. They realize most dominant males are really insecure little boys. These women don't concern themselves with insecure little boys unless they are taking part in raising them into men. They know that there are many different types of alpha men, and many are trying to make a show out of their pre-imposed dominance. These women see overly dominant men like they see their sons or younger brothers who are just trying to penetrate the world with their boyish energy that they don't yet understand. And that these little boys mostly unconsciously dwell in fear and ignorance. These women don't tolerate this boyish behavior, but nor do they judge it. They are women. They aren't girls. There's a difference, just as a man knows there's a difference between himself and a boy. These women date, love, and marry gamma men. As my friend Jesse describes it, gamma men are complete men. These women share their lives with gamma men that have little, if anything, to prove. The men that aren't threatened by overly dominant, insecure men. The men that aren't conquered by a woman. These men would die to protect their loved ones. These men have mastered or are on their way of mastering, providing for their tribe. These men give back to the world. They look outward to help the world instead of looking inward all of the time and only interested in pleasing their own dicks and filling their own coffers. These women are gamma women. They see through the bullshit, and even if they become swayed by some alpha man's bullshit temporarily, they then cut that man out of their lives like a female wolf would slaughter a predator when it came to seek harm on their young. The elder women in my family consciously and unconsciously taught me to surround myself with the right type of women. The elder women in my family knew how to nurture their young. These women are led by love and light. They know how to channel their dreams and make them a reality. These women aren't threatened by their own darkness, and if they are, they become aware of it quickly and embrace it and start to understand it. These women would never embrace toxic femininity. They know that there is a yin and a yang to this world, and to empower the world, they need to embrace healthy femininity and healthy masculinity. These women alter the world. They are shapeshifters. They are alchemists. They create the reality that was given to them through their dreams. They are some of the strongest women on the planet, and they lead their lives with their hearts and emotions. I love them and cherish them, and I will continue to until the day that I die. Sometimes some of them don't see eye to eye. They care less about this. They have a mission, and they know not everyone in the world, even other gamma women, will understand them. One of the reasons for writing this is to celebrate them and to let them know how this man sees them. They are lionesses. Not all of them understand one another, just as many animals in the animal kingdom don't understand one another. Even though they may not understand one another, they are all doing the same thing. They are all taking their vision for their life and for the world and creating it, and they don't give up. I've had many friends I love and respect, many friends whom I don't completely understand. I don't understand their missions or their ways. Many of those friends make millions of dollars a year, many friends that command respect from thousands of people from all over the world. Their message doesn't always resonate with me, just as mine doesn't always resonate with them. But what I do understand is that we are all doing the same thing. We are all taking our vision for what we see as needed in the world and making it a reality. We are all taking our dreams and going after them like a lion goes after prey. And that pursuit deserves respect. We may not always understand one another, but we are all unified under a similar mission to obtain mastery in one form or another, to go after that vision that haunts our dreams, to pursue our passion into the world because we know we were given this vision for a reason that is beyond our complete understanding, and that vision will make this world a better place. I don't understand art. It's a foreign language to me. But I have many friends that are artists. I do understand their passion they have for their visions. Just as these women have visions and they pursue them with the elegance and radiance of a lioness in the wild. As a lioness is the queen of the savannah, these women are queens of the world. It's attractive. It should be respected and held in high regard. Some of these women have eight-figure businesses. Some of these women have communities that count into the millions. Why am I writing this? To let these women know how much I admire each and every one of them. Was this stem from a women's movement to let the ladies in our lives get recognized more? Nope. I don't operate like that. But I do think us men could do better at recognizing the women in our lives. We could also do better at recognizing the men in our lives. And we could all probably do better at recognizing ourselves. This is just my post to let these women know how much I admire and appreciate them. Will some people question this post? Yep. Do I care? Nope. I do care about your growth, your path to lead a better life. But I could care less about your insecurities about what I think about these women. Will some people think it's ridiculous? Yep. Do I care? Nope. Will some people question my motives? Yep. Will I entertain your questioning? I might, if I feel it's valid and comes from love. This is for these women that I want to recognize.
All right. So ladies, hope you enjoyed it. Maybe some of you got really touched by it because Chris was just telling me. Yeah. I'm assuming, Chris, every woman who's read that was like, oh my God, what?
Yes.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit.
You were touched by it. And the woman I was dating, she cried after I read it. And for the next couple of days, we talked about it. She would send me messages and saying, oh my God, this is, you know, this is so great. And this point was really great. And this is all, you know, golden. And so I was thinking about posting it on Facebook. Because I was like, I don't know what to do with this. I actually have a lot of, I journal, I meditate and I journal. I have a lot of writing that I just don't know what to do with. It's stuck in my drive. And I was like, well, if I post on Facebook, I would want to post it and actually tag the women that I've put photos in the article or the Google Doc. And you were one of them. And there was about, I don't know, maybe there's 20 women or so. And I would want to tag them. and then reach out to all of them and share this with them first before I actually tagged them. So then I was like, maybe I'll just send it over to Anna because I saw your post on the forum about how you guys were doing in your business and in motherhood. And I thought maybe Anna would be a good person to talk to about this.
Yeah, cool. So you haven't done that post yet or tagged?
No, I haven't done anything with it yet.
Yeah. Yeah, love it. So let's talk about what I'm really curious. Tell me what has triggered that that writing, that message, that thought for you?
It really was as simple as just like I was meditating one morning and it all kind of came up to me and I was like, I should just write about this. And really the edition that I sent over to you that we have now is I edited a bit to just kind of fix grammar and some sentence structure, but it's pretty much all is exactly how it all came out naturally. And it was just kind of inspiration. And I loved it. Because I really admire women that take on the world the way they feel like they need to take on the world. I guess you can call it about a bit of ambition, but they have a dream that they want to go after. And not everybody, not all women are doing it. It's not all men are doing it. And to see women go out and make their dreams come true, and a lot of these women that I was thinking of at the time, you know, build successful businesses, raise families, you know, be amazing wives or girlfriends. It was just, it's just inspiring. I think it's inspiring. I was raised with really amazing women, and to see these women do what really kind of in the history of the world, no other woman has done before, because now you guys are building businesses online, living in different locations around the world. A lot of women even travel solo, which is really inspirational to go all these different places and blog about it. It's just something that I needed to put on paper in that moment, and I put it down, and that's what we've got.
Yeah, beautiful. I mean, you know, I have these moments also about men.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel it's so beautiful when, like, what I really appreciated about this letter is because there's polarity in it. You know, yeah. And there's so many men today. Obviously we live in very, very interesting times, and we talked about this with you a little bit on the other podcast, Chris, where a lot of men are confused today, and we also see this kind of thing. You know, it's really funny. String and I laugh sometimes about when a man says, I'm a feminist, you know, or something around that line, which is like, we all are feminists, but I feel like there's a lot of men who are confused and also succumb to, how do I put it? Kind of become these men who are not standing strong in their masculinity while supporting the women in their lives. They feel like they need to step back, step down, and let the women lead because of that agenda of the feminist movement today, which has gone, in my opinion, completely overboard. And so they become, I don't want to call them weak men, but I would say, you know, men who are leading from their feminine because they're like, well, yeah, we've been, so they're caught up in these agendas of gender feminism and things like that. So what I really appreciated about your letter is because, and obviously having that conversation with you 2 years ago and knowing where you're coming from, that you talk about that feminine, you know, these women are mothers and, you know, they're doing these amazing things, but they're not coming from that masculine. And you refer to that, obviously, the masculine within us, which is why we build all these businesses, because otherwise, you know, we wouldn't be doing that. But you refer to it as like a strength, that you compare it with a wolf, right? I don't know how much you know about my work, Chris, but I've been heavily influenced by Women Who Run With the Wolves. It's like a Bible into femininity. It's a book written by Clarissa Pinkola Estes. Yeah. She's a Jungian psychologist, and like that book is just a Bible into everything. One of my favorite books. I recommend it to all of the clients. It's a pretty hard read. It's also about folklore and stories and things like that. But initially when I started Girl Skill, which was before Claimed, even on my website now, actually, oh my God, my journey to the new claimed website is hard and daunting. But even if you go to girlskill.com now, And if you saw, like, even the episode cover, sorry, the podcast cover.
I remember you used to have a wolf on your podcast cover, right?
Yeah. And if you go to girlskill.com now, which is like my homepage, there's me and the wolf. I did a manipulation, like I did a photo shoot. And so, you know, you really touched upon something, and probably unconsciously, you know, if you've never heard of women who run with the wolves, or that metaphor, that idea, or the parallel. And it's just proof that, you know, that archetype of a woman and a wolf. And I've written actually an article based on the book in terms of how women are very similar to wolves and their nature. But you mentioned that unknowingly, unconsciously, that there's an archetype there that lives in all of us, that, you know, when we need to get fierce, the feminine women that we are, who are mothers and are connected to ourselves and love and light and our hearts. And we see another thing that I loved in your letter is how you said that we see through toxic men, we see through the ego, and we laugh at it because we know that these are not grown up men. Yeah. So anyways, I thought it was really, really beautiful in terms of how that came through you. And I mean, obviously I know you've done a lot of work on yourself and you explored these subjects. And so we see all of that in here. And that's why I'm so excited to be talking to you, because all of my women that I work with and all of the women of the world, I think, need to hear this and also need to see evidence, Chris, because I always talk about in my programs and with my clients, women today do not see enough evidence of great men around them. Well, first of all, because it's all affected by their reality and by their belief system. Like, if you don't trust men or you think that men are pigs, that's what you're going to see around. And so my mission today, and with my work, that's why I'm so passionate about talking to men like you, is evidence. The more evidence I can bring up for women, to women and to men as well, of men like you who so passionately, freely talk about this and stand strong in your masculine journey, you know, the more women will realize, well, there's great men and they're all around. And I'm sure your friends, most of your friends are men like you. And so, you know, my husband is like this. Hi, girlfriends. Sorry to interrupt. You're listening to the episode, but I quickly wanted to jump in and let you know that I have prepared something exciting for you. If you're interested in polarity, femininity, and how to embrace your feminine and how to attract primarily masculine men in your life, this announcement is going to be very useful for you, because I'm talking about my signature training. Like, how do I describe this experience? Because it's really an experience, you know. This is a signature training, my one-hour webinar that I've put together, and it honestly, it's been through a few iterations in the last 2 years, but I feel like this is the best yet training of mine that didn't come from, you know, reading 2 books and 3 courses and like coming together in a copy paste thing that I now advise women to do. No, this has come from me, my own lived experience through my dating life and through finding and attracting the masculine man of my dreams and then marrying him and creating a family. This also came, yes, indeed, from a lot of research and learning and courses and coaches and, oh my God, you name it. You know, it's been a journey of 5 years for me about that time. And also this has come from my clients. So the previous training, how is this different? If you've signed up for another training of mine, which was the Lie of Female Success, by the way, this is different because this is now coming through a distillation of my work one-on-one with women who I've helped get to that place where they're just attracting better men, and they start attracting better masculine men and are on their way to actually to a relationship eventually, not only masculine, but also masculine committed men. So if you are in a situation where you are attracting men that are less than desirable, let's say they're feminine men who don't want to lead, don't want to take charge, and men who are unavailable, then this training is for you. I will have to call this training How to Start Attracting Your Masculine Committed Men, basically in 30 days or less. And in this training, I will share with you some of the key things that I've learned throughout this journey that are helping. That's what my work with women is based on. So in this 60-minute training, you'll find the number one reason why you're still single and can't attract a committed masculine man. It's not what you think. How to break through the patterns of attracting unavailable or feminine men, as I said, and find your blind spot so you can attract the men you want. How to master the feminine masculine polarity so you start feeling taken care of, claimed, and finally be able to let go of control and uncover the lie of female success that's keeping you stuck, exhausted, and unfulfilled. which means in masculine energy all the time. So you can start living in freedom and joy and much, much more. So if you're interested, go to girlskill.com/webinar, sign up. And I can't wait for you to see this training and to let me know how it went. And by the way, there are no replays for this. So make sure you select the time that you can show up and be fully present. All right, I'm going to jump off and you continue listening to this episode. So you mentioned something that I wanted to ask you about in the letter gamma, or you call it gamma,
men
and women, which is something that I actually didn't hear before, because, you know, we talk about beta and alpha, and, you know, beta and alpha is kind of described as inferior, superior. And then you mentioned gamma, which is like, almost seems like a completely different level. And in your letter, you said, you know, these women date, love, and marry gamma men. Gamma men are complete men, and these women are gamma women. You know, they see through the bullshit and all of that. So tell me more about that.
I think, like, when we categorize alpha women or alpha men, it's generalized into, like, who is the stronger one in maybe a relationship, or who is the strongest man at a company or woman at a company, or amongst the men's or a woman's group. And so I was thinking about this, you know, if you're going to put everybody into an alpha men group, not only would you put Gandhi and Martin Luther King, but you would also put Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un, right? And so you can't put those humans in the same category. Like, there's a difference between those types of men, right? I'd always thought about that. And I was like, I'm a strong man, but I don't feel like a quote unquote alpha man as society kind of sees it. Last summer, I was on a little motorcycle trip and we stopped and we got hamburgers. We were just sitting down in a circle as a group of guys. One of the guys, his name's Jesse, he's a good friend of mine. And he started telling this story about what he'd learned from a book. It's called The Lodging of Wayfair Men. And there's a paragraph in there. And they talk about that back in the day, scientists were studying mice. And just like any type of scientific study, you often find two groups in animal kingdoms, alphas and betas, right? And this is, you know, common knowledge. And alphas, generally, what the alpha mice and the beta mice were doing, their behavior is the alpha mice, when the food came, the alpha mice would come, take as much food as they could. The alpha mice would choose the best territories to make their nest. They would choose the best mates. And they would kind of push or just squash on the beta mice. And the beta mice were left with like the 10% of food that was left. And they had the worst place for their nest. And so this is just common in the animal kingdom, right? But on further investigation in this study that they were doing, they found that there was actually a third type of mouse. When feeding time came, the mice started to get their food, but they saw the alpha mice fighting with another mouse. But this mouse wasn't getting all the food that he could take on his own. He would take what he needed for him and his family. And then if there was other mice that came up and they needed some food too, he would share. And he would pick also the best place for a nest and the choicest mates. And when the alpha mice would come and try to dominate him, they would fight and scrap, sometimes even to the death, to protect their little nest and their little family. And my friend Jesse said in the book, they didn't know what to call these mice, so they just called them gamma mice. And he was like, that's the type of men I like to hang out with. It's like gamma men. And as soon as he said that, like, it just clicked for me. It was like, that's the type of men that I like to hang out with. That's the type of women I like to hang out with. We're not people that are trying to take or get all the money that we absolutely can without sharing it with the world, right? We're not people that are building businesses that's about hurting other people. We're not people that's about dominating other people. We're people about that are like going after our own dreams, taking care of ourselves, and through that process, helping others along the way. And that's our focus. And that's very much the difference between a human like Martin Luther King and Vladimir Putin. And I was like, that makes so much sense. Like, sometimes quite often I don't even like hanging around alpha men. Like sometimes they're just assholes. They're stingy. You know, I just feel grimy around those type of men. And I'm like, but when I get around my gamma boys, you know, when I get around those guys, I'm like, we can take on the world. I just feel so incredibly empowered and lit up. That's when I started to elaborate more on that concept and do a bit more writing in my own personal journaling about gamma men and then talking to others about it. And that's kind of how I felt about these women that I was writing about, yourself included. And I was like, these type of women, the women that I grew up with for the most part are those type of women. They're not out there dominating. They're not out there trying to take everything for themselves. They're trying to really help the world and nurture the world and make their own dreams come true through that process. That's why when I was writing this, I had to mention the difference between how I see alpha men and women versus gamma men and women.
Yeah, that's really interesting what you're saying, Chris, because I think what you have called gamma women and gamma men, what I call, and there's many different interpretations to it. You know, some people call it, you know, men who lead with their heart and women who lead with their heart. In my interpretation of, you know, and how I kind of label it, I label it as healthy masculinity, healthy femininity. Yeah. Because when I explain this, and that's how when women join my program, for example, the first thing we talk about is actually polarity deep dive. And when we talk about that polarity deep dive, it's very, you know, obviously you have feminine on one side, masculine on the other side, both men and women have it. Obviously, you know, women are much more connected and feel fulfilled in when they're connected to their feminine and lead from that and live in that, especially in relationships. And men are much more connected to their masculine. And then I explain the differences between the two, and also that the roots of that don't, I mean, these are energetic, these are labels, obviously, and there's energy involved in everything, but it actually roots down in evolutionary psychology as well, in terms of mating principles and the, you know, sexual selection and all of that. And I do explain that, you know, on both ends, there's healthy and unhealthy versions of femininity and of masculinity. Today, obviously, the whole agenda has been shifted and skewed towards toxic masculinity, unhealthy masculinity, and how men show up in all these ways. Like you said, you named all these men who, you know, and I explained that the difference between healthy and unhealthy versions of that, which is on the masculine side with men and exactly on the feminine side with women. And women are not aware of it. But when I explain it and give examples, like men are terrified of women who play in their toxic femininity. And we have plenty of examples there. But it's really the unhealthy versions. And I feel like it's important for me to share this because obviously this is all part of my work and how I see, because we're on the same page. I guess, just name these things differently, is when the unhealthy version of that is either men or women or feminine or masculine, is where you create these win-lose situations where a man is in his masculine. He's obviously, we can call him an alpha, which is, you know, attractive to a lot of women because he's in his masculine. Yes, this guy, you know, takes charge and leads and stands strong and confident, maybe plays that protector and a provider role in the unhealthy version of it. But he uses that, his masculine capacity or capability, to create win-lose situations with everyone, with the women in their lives, but also with the whole world. And we can see this in the names that you mentioned. This is mostly led by ego and mostly led by accumulation of resources and all of that.
And insecurities too.
Yeah, obviously. Right.
Yeah.
The shadow side of that. And so what we see on the feminine side is exactly the opposite, which is when a woman, predominantly we see the toxic femininity or an unhealthy feminine behaviors when it comes to sexuality, for example. Because if a man's biggest power, and this again goes to evolutionary psychology and sexual selection, if a man's biggest power is that fight and competition for resources, right? Like, and this is like, I'll also get to the mice, because I have some really interesting thoughts around this, because obviously I've been studying evolutionary psychology and all the, you know, Darwin, and I'll get to the mice in a moment, but in terms of, you know, when a man, the masculine trait of, you know, competition for resources, and that's why you see all these guys like always competing and, you know, who's got the most muscles, the blah, blah, blah. It's all subconscious and on the belief, like really raw primal competition for pretty much the best female out there. The more resources I have, the higher are the chances for survival, obviously for securing the future of my offsprings and securing the best, the most fertile female. Now on the female side, we don't have to compete for resources, but we do compete for beauty and health and youth. And so actually when you look at it that way, dating becomes very, very simple and it all makes sense. And relationships as well. But sexuality and youth is actually when women take advantage of that and again create win-lose situations, which there's a lot of women who do that in the world. So it's on both sides. So that's how I interpret, you know, but the gamma men and women are the ones who are living from their healthy masculine, which is you embody that masculinity, you know, that you talk about on the other podcast with me, where I like being a man. I do not have any shame in being a man, for feeling what I feel, for being sexually attracted to a woman. Like, I'm not going to apologize for that. You know, I own it, but I also, and you know, as you said, I'm taking over the world. I'm doing all these masculine activities, but I do not create win-lose situations. I create win-win situations. And the same thing happens on the feminine side when we are in our healthy masculine. We obviously, as a woman, I really very much understand my power of my sexuality and you know, and I know how to use it, but I do not abuse it. That is the difference there. And we can talk about whether it's leading from the heart or whatever, but I believe in the same thing, you know? And so when we come together as that, where we share resources, where we create these win-win situations, the world becomes a better place for everyone.
Everyone. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, and you said actually, yes, in your letter now that kind of, you know, that there's a yin and a yang to this world, and to empower the world, they need to embrace healthy femininity and healthy masculinity. Right. So gamma couples, we can call them men and women, are men and women who come together in their healthy feminine, healthy masculine, and that play this dance of polarity and we create the world together. Now, I want to comment, Chris, on the mice, because have you read the book Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton?
I haven't. I'm getting a list of books I need to read talking to you, Anna.
I got it. And in fact, you know, I got it because I saw we had our first meeting with our doula. Not sure if you know who a doula is, like a birth support person. Yeah. So I went to her office and this was our initial appointment. And I saw Biology of Belief there as a book, and she had a bunch of little notes. I should have borrowed it from her, but I was like, oh, Biology of Belief. Because, you know, I'm constantly exploring, and one of the biggest chapters in my program, what we work with women, is actually framing beliefs about men, about women, about relationships. And so soon as I saw Biology of Belief, it kind of, in my mind, I thought that it would talk about how beliefs are formed and what is the biology of it. Anyways, so I bought that book and then I started reading it. And well, I don't know if you wonder, I think it's a good read. I only got to the half of it because there was too much biology in it rather than, you know, more of, okay, tell me about belief. I'm sure he's going to get to it, but like Bruce Lipton is a scientist, an amazing scientist. I think cellular biology and things like that. And he like, oh my God, he was explaining like the nucleus of the cells. And I'm like, I don't need to know this. Like, I'm pregnant. Like, give me Biology of Belief, you know? Anyways, but what I know is that why I'm bringing this up is because when you were talking about the mice, he was in the book, he was mentioning that, and again, I haven't read it fully, but I thought it was really interesting. He also talked about this third type. So he mentioned Darwin, right? And the whole, obviously, you know, evolutionary theory and the fight for survival, only the strongest and the fittest will survive. That's where that alpha, so the beta would die out. And you and me, Chris, are the descendants of actually the alphas in our species who could fight for resources and, you know, survive. And we are the best offsprings that are there. So thanks to the generations and the thousands of years that's been happening. But he also says that actually you know, the theory which has been predominant now, Darwinian, I guess, theory is not necessarily compromised, but there's a lot of other stuff that's coming out now. I can't remember. There's another guy that was doing this sort of research during Darwin times, and he actually talked about a different kind of, I guess, competition and survival, where there's this third group of species and animals that do not operate in that predominant kind of classic alpha, beta, I need to get the most amount of resources, survive, and I don't give a shit about anyone else. There's a lot of, and again, I can't quote this because I can't remember, but there's a lot of species out there that live in interdependent relationships where they create symbiotic relationships and where actually the world is a much better place when we cooperate. So it's not competition versus, it's like co-optition in a way. So yeah, that's really interesting that you're sharing that, because I was thinking, and the guy was like, well, Bruce Lipton basically says, this is the world that we need to move towards, right? Because if we keep operating, and again, thoughts of capitalism come to mind, although I'm...
Toxic capitalism.
Like inherently nothing wrong with capitalism. And that's why when I hear, same as patriarchy, you know, this world is like throwing out initially patriarchy equals bad, capitalism equals bad, which is not necessarily true. So, toxic cap, like what is healthy capitalism? I guess it's healthy capitalism is led by, I guess, or is represented by a society, by an economy that is led by healthy men and women, or gamma men and women, where we are not engaged in this fight of, you know, country versus country, resources versus resources, my people, your people, wars, so on and so forth. But really, how do we do this together so that everybody lives well, essentially?
Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to share about that.
We were talking about alpha, beta, and gamma. Interestingly enough, you know, I'm studying neuroscience quite a bit these days and have the brain scanner. Are you familiar with the different states of mind, like brain states?
Yeah, well, gamma is one of the waves, right? Yeah,
yes.
So there's beta, alpha, gamma, and theta.
So it's kind of ironic how that all lines up, but the alpha brainwave, the beta brainwave is the more stressed brainwave. That's where you experience the majority of fear and anxiety. Mm. Alpha is one below that, where you start to get in flow states, or you feel shower thoughts, and you'll get shots of inspiration if you're going on a walk, maybe a light meditation. Theta is even deeper, and then delta is even deeper, but the one that is called like the genius brainwave is the gamma brainwave, where it's like enlightenment comes from, forgiveness on microsecond level that you haven't been able to forgive somebody in years comes when you're in like gamma state of mind. That I just thought that was kind of interesting how that lined up with the terminology, because maybe this is operating, the gamma men and women are operating from a higher state of mind, a state of mind that is more connected, like you mentioned, to their heart. When you get the mind and heart connected, you can create some really phenomenal things. And then I think like, yeah, that the idea of capitalism, the way that it evolved, is the idea, I think, behind it was always to liberate people. And then some bad people got involved with it, and it turned into take everything you can, and not, you have to, you think the industrial age, it was about making as much money as you can for the very, very few 0.01%, and then keep everybody else poor. But then that also moved us into another level of abundance with humanity. And so there was toxic capitalism involved, but there's a healthy level of capitalism. You know, I'm American, so we don't have a negative perception as much of capitalism as a lot of places in the world. And so for us, like, capitalism is quite often, it can be a really good thing, especially if you see it working in a healthy way with people that are focused on heart-centered, creating win-win situations, building businesses like the Gamma Women and Gamma Men are building that help the world really make it a better place.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I never like to look at words or labels or movements like imperialism and capitalism and patriarchy, oppression. You know, all of that is just putting a label on something that has developed over hundreds of years. And is like, you know, so many people get caught up in these labels and are throwing things around or angry instead of actually looking at the two sides of the coin, as you said, you know, like when we talk about capitalism, obviously there is toxic portrayals of that and we're dealing with all the consequences, but there's also that side of, because, you know, me and you, Chris, and all of our friends are pretty much self-built in a way. You know, nobody gave me anything. And in fact, you were born in the US, which is a much better, well, I would consider a much better start than I was in the poorest country in Europe. You know, I had nothing and I had to, you know, like I had to work hard and go through all these challenges. And so when we talk about capitalism, there's that idea that also the individual is rewarded. And I've been heavily influenced by Ayn Rand. I don't know if you've read like Atlas Shrugged or The Fountainhead, you know, like the individual's ability to create success and follow their dreams and ambition and be confident and be assertive and, you know, just go for what you want. That's a quality that I admire in myself, and that's why we're here, where we are. That's why we build the lives that we build. So this whole, like it's a really interesting discussion when we talk about sharing the resources. Then it's like you're dancing in between socialism and capitalism, essentially, and these conversations. Because I grew up, I mean, okay, I was born in 89 and in, you know, 92, 91, the Soviet Union broke, but I was raised in the mentality of socialism or communism, and look how that turned out. So, you know, it's a constant, like, is it everything for all or capitalism? Anyways, we're not here to talk about capitalism, but I thought it was really, it's really interesting how we kind of segued into that. But anyways, we're here and, you know, we were all part of this, Chris. We're building a world where today, especially, you know, we couldn't have even talked about healthy capitalism or whatever 50 years ago, or even, you know, in the pandemic in the last 2 years, where really the online world and how me and you can sit at home and create amazing businesses and give back and help people really shift, transform, and live better lives. Like, we didn't have that even 10, 20 years ago.
Another part that really inspired this, Anna, was my grandmother's generation. My grandmother rode a horse to school and never drove a car, never had a driver's license. I'm sure it's probably similar with your grandmother or great grandmother, that they had very little opportunities. And just two generations, all of a sudden, there's women that are building 7- and 8-figure businesses, creating money for themselves online, creating a lifestyle for themselves, living these amazing lives. They're able to travel and go where they need to. And that was part of like seeing all that progress in just a couple generations, and how quickly it shifted. And all of a sudden, now your daughters and your daughter's daughters and, you know, your granddaughters, great granddaughters, they're going to have all these opportunities because of this shift and really kind of globalization, but also the ability to create opportunities through the internet and through the way that we see the world and move through the world now. And that was part of like seeing that whole progress is why I also am very inspired by all of my friends who I wrote this article about, because they're just doing really incredible things that our grandmother's generations couldn't even hardly fathom. It would just be the biggest dream in the world for their granddaughters to do what you guys are doing. And that's impressive.
Even mothers. We don't even have to go two generations back. We can just go one generation back, you know?
Yeah.
Where, I mean, it's pretty amazing. And I see how you wrote this, because you not only expressed your gratitude and admiration and kind of this awe of these women. Because, I mean, it's a different journey for men and women today, but it has always been the case, you know, and we can't. That's why in my work, and when women really understand this, we cannot disregard the fact that our bodies are built differently. I mean, I'm sitting here with you, you know, 6 weeks away from giving birth. So again, and that's why I feel like you sent me that letter, because I've shared that it's such a different journey building a business and taking all of these opportunities. So it's a really you know, when I look at the women that you talk about, and thanks for including me in there, it's my whole post in that you wrote was like, it's fucking challenging. Like, I'm constantly exploring the answers. What I know now is what I teach and what I work with women is that if I'm connected to my femininity as a woman, then I understand that I don't need to work that hard to achieve the success that I want, and that I also can't do it all, or I can't do it all at the same time. And that's why there's such a beautiful dance in polarity and in men. Like, I can't do this by myself. I have a partner and I can't have a child at the same time or be pregnant, give birth and run a business and take care of the family. Like, it's just crazy and I can't do it. Yes, while it is a very, very, it's an amazing time. That's why I say, as women, we live in the best time that women have ever lived, you know, even one generation ago. You're right. Our mothers did not have that opportunity to sit at home, create a seven-figure business and live the life that we live. That comes with a lot of challenge as well. But I agree with you. My daughter's already growing up in a completely different world. First of all, in a Western country. Second, where she can travel and we can, oh my God, when I tell her the story of where I come from and what I've managed to achieve and the belief systems and the challenges that I had to overcome to get to where I am, it's totally incredible. It also comes with a lot of challenges as being a woman today. And that's why I do the work that I'm doing, helping women really connect to themselves so we do not have to basically be a workhorse and be a slave to all of these opportunities because we can turn into, like, burnout for you, Chris, totally understand. But I feel like burnout for women has such a different quality and a nuance, because we are in business with men, but we cannot operate and work
the way that men do.
Yeah, absolutely.
That makes sense.
All right. Well, any last thoughts before we finish? This has been a fascinating discussion.
I was thinking about your daughter reading your eulogy about your life and how you started out in one of the poorest countries in Europe and moved to build a successful career and then start a business where you could travel the world and go anywhere in the world that you want, eventually turning it into a seven-figure business and really helping people along the way. Like, it's just the stories that movies are made about. You know, it's the things that are like, oh, wow, here's somebody that started out poor in the middle of nowhere and they had a dream and they went after this dream and then they achieved that dream and they lived happily ever after, sort of thing. So
Cool. It's pretty incredible. Like, sometimes I'm like, holy shit, what, you know? I mean, for me, it's been a consistent exponential growth. And you know, when people, and I've given quite a few interviews here and there, and when they ask me, like, what is it, what did you do or whatever, I always say it's nurture and nature, because yes, I did a lot of different things that were in my power, obviously, but I also am the type of a personality, you know, an ENTJ, a natural born leader and all of that. So I can't just say, okay, well, here's what I've done and anybody can do it. I mean, I believe anybody can do it, but I also believe that you got to have that set of either skills or I was born this way. You know, my dad always told me this story. And oh my God, Chris, Zoe, my toddler, 2.5, has my personality. So I'm like, from one side, I'm like, you're going to do great things. But from another side, I'm like, holy shit, this stuff that I'm going to have to deal with. We're already dealing with it now in her toddlerhood, where she's like, mama, no talking, you know, and when she becomes a teenager. So if she has, well, she does have my personality. I was like, oh God, what do I have to deal with? So, but anyway, it's an exciting journey ahead, and we'll see what happens. So
it is very exciting. Yeah. I learned this recently, Anna, and we were talking about, you know, the differences between generations and the opportunities, and also toxic femininity. I was interviewing Rob Wolf, who's one of the original CrossFit creators, and he's now a successful entrepreneur. But he was telling me on the interview that men and women lack about 3 times less testosterone and estrogen than our grandparents' generation. And I asked him, why do you think that is? He was like, for men, I could see it being confused as men on what they're supposed to do with women and how they're supposed to act as men. And I said, that's a good point, but I think it's deeper than that. It goes along the lines of our human behavior today compared to how we used to operate. So, and I want to ask you this. What was the typical day like for your grandmother when she was young, or maybe when she was middle-aged?
Well, I mean, my grandmother was also kind of, they had a farm, not a big one, but there was a lot of physical work on the farm, but also childbearing. Like, it was literally for women, when I think about what you just said, if I were to explain it, like, you know, well, my grandmother actually had just two children, which was very strange.
Rare.
So women were essentially just making babies all the time, working around the house, taking care of the household and making babies, looking after children, while men were either in the field doing all the hard labor and the hard physical work, or actually at war. So for me, the fact that men don't have enough testosterone today, much of it might be explained by actually not being involved in wars for the last, thank God, you know, for the last 50 years, and the women just not being in those masculine or male-dominated industries. Because right now, Chris, it makes sense, because we go to offices, we sit here and we build our businesses with men together. So all of these hormones are, you know, not out of whack, obviously, because they're, we need to come to a balance, but it totally makes sense to me.
So in the Western world, pre like 1930, 1940, most men were, you're right, fighting in wars, working on farms, doing some sort of construction, hunting for food and this sort of thing. And then, you know, pre maybe 1950 or 60 for the less developed part of the world, same thing, right? For women, you know, women generally were taking care of the house. But also, you look at this as like, how often were these men and women spending time around other men and women versus the average man and woman today? Mm-hmm. So guys were going out doing guy things, fixing, you know, the house, right? Going hunting. My grandpa worked in a factory, so he was around other guys every single day in a masculine environment, where the women were, back then, they were staying at home.
Always together.
Taking care of babies, always together, doing feminine things. Maybe it's making blankets, making clothes, preparing food, helping one another out. And that doesn't exist like it used to. And, you know, I'm not boosting my testosterone, and you're probably not boosting your estrogen while we sit behind our computers and type, right? You know,
this, or talk to each other on this podcast. My estrogen is definitely not being raised, but it will be. Yeah. I mean, yeah, my hormones are going crazy and preparing, you know, in this period of my life. But yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And you look at the average male and female, and they're spending much more time at home, in their own homes, alone, without human contact, in their heads, not going out and spending daily. I mean, you need this weekly man and woman time. You need to go out with your guys, not out, you're partying, but out and spend quality time with your men friends, and women need to do that with their family at least on a weekly basis, you know. Mm-hmm. And people used to do it daily, like that was just a daily part of life. And so I have a feeling that is a major reason why the average man and women are lacking in testosterone and estrogen these days.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why, you know, when we create, like, we have an amazing community of women in Claimed, and all of them are like totally blown away by what happens when women come together, because that's what happened for years and years. You know, although we could say that, you know, a man's journey is a much more solitary journey. If you really think about it, like, again, evolutionary psychology, you know, when you were going out there hunting, you had to be quiet, and you actually had to strategize and sit. And maybe the strategy would be in a group, but you would strategically think about it and spend a lot of time on your own or whatever. While women, and this is going back to evolutionary psychology, Chris, when I've discovered it and understood, I was like, oh my God, aha moments everywhere. And now I teach that to women. It's like we actually, as women, we survived by being together, by using a lot of sound and noise and fire, because that's how we were able to protect our children from predators.
Yeah.
Because when a tiger comes in and our men are out there hunting, what are you going to do? You are only going to survive in a group, in a tribe of other women making a lot of noise, putting fire. The children are behind in the house. And so, or we carry our children on our back. So, and foraging and all of that. Absolutely. So I'm working towards restoring those, you know, especially in women, restoring and rebalancing their, and hormonal issues actually, Chris, in women. I'm not sure how it is with men, but I'm suspecting that there is this testosterone. Like I actually listened to a recent interview on Joe Rogan, which obviously my husband gave me. Have you listened to that interview with that woman who wrote the book, Testosterone?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's a fascinating
interview.
I've
got a lot of resources from this, from you on this podcast.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, she wrote a book about testosterone and what happens with testosterone and why is it driven, why is it important? You know, why it's like as soon as the embryo is formed, testes, testosterone, and why testosterone is the reason for how men behave and why it's actually necessary and good and what are the problems there. But definitely hormonal issues in women today, Chris, are just crazy, you know, and infertility and all of that. And I believe that that definitely has to do with women going out into the workforce. And as I said, as amazing it is, as you said, you know, we live in this amazing world. At the same time, it's quite challenging and it brings with it, because one can't happen without the other. You know, there's consequences to everything. And now we have to deal with those consequences. But, you know, we're all doing our best. And I believe in an abundant future where there are answers to all of these things. And that's what I'm doing, trying to figure it all out and talking to you and all the other people. So, all right, Chris. Yeah. Well, it's been an amazing conversation. Thank you so much for being here, for writing this, for recording this, and for, again, being the man that you are and being passionate about these subjects. I highly encourage you to share because, as I said, evidence, you know, the more we bring evidence that men like you exist and they're actually in the majority, this is what my belief is, then we are going to live in that gamma, so to say, world.
The gamma state. Yes.
Yeah. Any last words for the listeners? Well, most of them are women looking for great men. Do you have any last words there for my women listening?
I want to say thank you, Anna, for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. If you guys like my, you know, post and want to reach out, feel free to reach out. I'll give you my email and Anna or Facebook or whatever, and you can put it on the links. But yeah, I'm glad I could share this. Like, I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know where, what would happen to it. And hopefully you guys like it.
Yeah, cool. Well, there's always a platform for these kind of messages on Claimed, Chris. So whenever, I'm very open to anything that is along those lines and in these conversations. So thank you so much.
Perfect. Thank you, Anna.
All right, girlfriends, hope you enjoyed listening or watching to this episode. And if you did, and if you resonate with most of the things I'm saying, and you want to learn more, and you want to finally start attracting masculine men, I have an invitation for you. So, as you know, I am committed and passionate about helping successful women attract and keep committed masculine men. So I have a personal invitation for you. If you're resonating with everything and you're ready to step up and invest in yourself and take things to the next level, I would love, love, love to talk to you and see if you would be a fit for my work and what I do. And so basically what I'm doing is I'm inviting you, and it's a personal invitation if you resonate, because I don't work with everyone and I'm not here to just, you know, make a quick buck and whatever. I'm here committed to your result. And I will make sure that we go until the end and that we get you the result that you want, which is start attracting better men. So I invite you to sign up, to actually apply for a free discovery call with me. It's a call that is 1 hour long. And what we do is we talk about your current situation, where you are today, and what's wrong, quote unquote, wrong with your dynamics with men, what you don't like. And then we're going to talk about what you really want and where you want to get. And at the end, if I find that that's a good fit, I'll tell you what I do and I'll offer you to join us and how we could work together. So just to give you a bit of context, this experience is all about, and what I'm going to offer to only if I find that that's a good fit, is about, number one, putting yourself in the best position to start attracting committed masculine men, and not through tactics and techniques or tips, tricks, whatever, but just by being you and understanding and appreciating men, thus creating a deeper relationship with yourself as a feminine essence woman and attract better committed masculine men. Number two, it's all about letting go of overworking perfectionism and the need to control by overcoming your limiting beliefs, patterns, and obstacles to rediscover your worth and enoughness, and rebuilding your faith in your own voice, in your own decisions, and exploring your boundaries, and so on and so on. Number three, it's all about letting your body lead. Stop overthinking and start trusting your gut and your heart when it comes to making decisions, expanding and embracing your range of emotions, cultivating a sense of awareness and pleasure, and feeling more without apologizing for it. And I know if you're here, you understand and you know that the path to your masculine man, who's a conscious, healthy man, is through you, is through embracing your feminine nature, is through running with the wolves and embracing your wild feminine side and actually gaining power from it. And a healthy masculine man will only be attracted to that if you get to that place yourself. And last but not least, it's all about becoming deeply connected to yourself as a woman. Understand what true femininity is, exploring deeper levels of intimacy, and finally becoming free, lighter, and open. Embracing basically the feminine side of polarity, because again, this is what your masculine man wants. It's all about stop living in the masculine energy by pushing, doing, and choosing all the time, and start living, enjoy freedom and your wild nature, where you can surrender, where you can finally let go. Trust me, this is an amazing place to be, and it's easy and joyful, and it feels natural and feels like a woman. So if you resonate, go to girlskill.com/apply. And there's going to be a short survey, step one, just apply there. And then the next step is to schedule a call with me. It's going to be an hour. We have fun on this call. So I hope to see you there. And my calendar is booked for another, I mean, booked. My calendar is open for another week. So go ahead and do that. If you don't see times that are available for you, make sure you email me, because I'll always make time for you to make sure that you get your spot. All right, girlfriend, keep running with wolves, and I'll see you next week. Okay, bye.